Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays here at 4 o'clock on News Radio, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, although this week and next week they're on pause for obvious reasons, because he is also one of the key organizers, the marketing director for Pensacon. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Let's do it real quick. What came out today or comes out this weekend? Heart Eyes is one.
Yeah, you're going to notice a little bit of a theme this week. You know, it's we're coming up on Valentine's Day. So, yeah, Heart Eyes. It is a combination slasher movie slash rom-com.
Okay. All right.
Which sounds pretty nuts. But, yeah, it's a serial killer with a mask that kind of looks like the heart-eyed emoji. Who is stalking romantic couples.
Okay.
And apparently very funny and very fun. And I actually did talk to a friend of mine who saw it last night who really enjoyed it, said it was really good. And the critics seem to agree, running about 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. So it's kind of a scare me, hold me, love me, touch me kind of movie.
I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing for Valentine's Day.
That's
I think
exactly
a lot of people
go to
scary movies on dates because,
you know,
they want to hold each other a little closer and that side of it. So
you can
be
afraid together. Yeah,
concept.
No, I agree. Love Hurts is the other one that's coming out or comes out.
Yeah, this is a cautionary tale about how winning an Oscar does not do anything for your career. This stars Ke Huy Quan and Ariana DeBose. So I believe both won in the same year, if I recall correctly, one supporting actor and supporting actress for respectively Everything Everywhere All at Once and West Side Story. And they're the leads in this apparently not very good comedic action movie in which he plays a Midwestern realtor who's very successful at he's a very positive, upbeat guy, and people like buying houses from him. And it turns out that he's been on the run from his crime lord brother and gotten out of that life. And the woman that was his partner in crime, who's played by Ariana DeBose, resurfaces, and they get back into the whole mix of it. So. I love Ke Huy Quan, and he's actually, he is legitimately a good martial artist. Like the years that he was like kind of out of the spotlight between, Goonies and Indiana Jones until he came back in the spotlight with Everything Everywhere All at Once. He was working as a stunt coordinator. You know, he's a legit martial artist. He is, so he gets to show off some of that in this movie, as he did in Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I just don't understand how these two folks, very, very talented. Ariana DeBose has just not been in a good movie since West Side Story, and I don't get it.
It happens sometimes, and as you say, sometimes it's the curse of the win, right? Now, next week you're not going to watch anything, but we have Pensacon next week, so what do people need to know a week out?
So, first of all, tickets still available. So we encourage you, if you haven't gotten yours yet, buy them in advance because you can save a little money that way. And you can, if you're buying a weekend pass or a VIP pass, you're able to pick up your passes early and save yourself from waiting in a will call line at the Bay Center on Friday. But you don't have to come the entire weekend. Also, we do have single day passes, and we have 2 day Friday, Sunday passes that are available as well. So I think that's some people get hung up a little bit on, I can't go all weekend, or, it's too expensive for me to go the whole weekend. We have other options. So there are absolutely other choices. Another thing too, is I think people get it hung up in their head. Well, I don't have a costume. You don't have to wear a costume. If you want to, and you're going to have fun doing that, absolutely do it. You're going to be celebrated and you're going to enjoy it. But if you want to come in a t-shirt and jeans, more than half the people there, that's what they're going to be wearing. You're going to be just fine.
That's me. When I go to Pensacon, I'm not in any special gear. Yep.
Other than, your news radio cosplay.
No, fair enough. No, I cosplay as a journalist all the time. Yeah, it's a weird one. So
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's a great weekend. It's some of the best people watching you're going to ever experience in Pensacola. But, you know, there's so much to do. And if you enjoy anything in pop culture, which I assume if you listen to this segment every week, you do, you know, because that's what we talk about every week. Right. We talk about movies. Movies are pop culture. TV is pop culture. Comics, you know, gaming, you name it. There's going to be things for you. And it's not just the science fiction, fantasy, horror, comic book type stuff. We really are, you know, all inclusive. There are folks here like Angie Harmon, who we're very excited to have here. She's going to be at her first convention ever. She's never done a convention. We're going to be the first one.
Oh, man. All right.
And she really is not known for, you know, anything like that. She's known for things like Law and Order and Rizzoli and Isles and
right.
You know, done a number of Lifetime projects in the past few years, you know. So, you know, there's absolutely something for you. You know, somebody like Haley Mills, who's a Disney legend and has made so many, yeah, had such a long career from, you know, being a child star to still working today. I was just in M. Night Shyamalan's Trap last year. You know, that's not necessarily a sci-fi icon. Although, you know, we've got those too. Obviously, we've got
right.
a number of folks from Star Trek and Star Wars and Doctor Who. But, you know, it is a mix of everything. And I think we've got something for everybody. And I hope that everybody comes out and takes advantage of seeing at least just a little bit of it.
And it's, you know, and if you've never been, you should go at least one time. It is a Pensacola institution now, the 12th one, which is amazing. And it is a blast. It's all kinds of stuff for all kinds of people. Julio Diaz typically hosts the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. And also, Let's Go Pensacola 4 o'clock on Saturdays, although obviously not tomorrow. Not tomorrow, right?
We will be on.
Oh, you will be on tomorrow, but not the following week. I got you.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot more about PensaCon.
Got it. Perfect. Julio, thank you for the time. Thanks for everything that you've done to make PensaCon the big hit that it is. And I always appreciate you. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
8:16 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why did Idris Elba get praise from the cancelers? And why did the NFL get canceled? Coming up next on the Transgressors Memorial Service, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents that are going to slow you down this morning. Good news on that. I-10, I-110, even through those construction zones, are looking good. Seeing some minor slowdowns through the Florida town area on Highway 90, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Are you feeling tired, slower, or achier than you used to? You might think it's just age, but it could be low testosterone. At Wave Men's Health, they've helped thousands of men who didn't realize their symptoms were caused by declining testosterone levels, a problem that's becoming a new norm in American men. Wave Men's Health refuses to accept this new normal. They're committed to restoring testosterone to healthy levels so you can feel like yourself again, whether at home, in the gym, at work, or in the bedroom. For years, their providers have delivered testosterone therapy tailored to each man's needs. No one-size-fits-all solutions, just real science-backed results delivered by discreet local experts. Imagine more energy, sharper focus, and newfound confidence. A same-day testosterone check and consultation is just $99. Call 850-266-7020 or visit WaveMensHealth.com today. Your prime years aren't over. They're just waiting to be unleashed. Wave Men's Health. Making it happen.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfancap and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the National Football League due to its decision to eliminate a vital end zone message from the field during Super Bowl 59. Now, dear Otherin, I know you have watched with keen interest as we have gradually made the NFL kowtow to our demands, whether it's changing the name of the Washington Redskins to the Harmless Commanders or taking a don't ask, don't tell approach to players kneeling during the national anthem. Moreover, the NFL has allowed teams to turn their helmets into message boards sporting such important social lessons as stop hate, vote, Black Lives Matter, and say their stories as part of its Inspire Change initiative. In fact, we must celebrate the singing of the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, at the start of many events, including this weekend's championship game. But, and I hate to have to say it, there is a real problem. All season long, the powerful phrases It Takes All of Us and End Racism have been stenciled into the end zones of home games of participating teams. Unfortunately, the NFL has decided not to include End Racism in the end zone on the field of the Superdome. Instead, the message at that end will simply be Choose Love. And much as we appreciate Choose Love, it clearly implies that the admonition to End Racism is no longer needed. As if racism has already been solved and doesn't need to be fought with every spandex fiber of our social uniforms. How are we supposed to remind ourselves and our neighbors about the unremovable stain of modern racism and the threat it poses to harmony everywhere if all we see on the field is a bland message about choosing love instead of the poignant guiding instruction it is replacing? The biggest audience of the season, and you choose to stop preaching hate and division? To stop preaching against hate and division? Also, and I almost hate to say this since it's so obvious, but could there be a worse time to drop the end racism message than in the year when Kansas City, a team which persists in using the racist name Chiefs, stands on the verge of a historical third win in a row? The Chiefs can take the field, but end racism gets removed from it? What a terrible look. So in spite of all the other wonderful virtue signals the NFL sends on a regular basis, this one infraction has led us to the distasteful conclusion of canceling them this week. And let this serve as a stern reminder that hundreds of good deeds can be undone in a single moment of moral wavering. Never let your guard down or your tackle. For one never knoweth from whence the virtue police may cometh for thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the United States State Department, who this week enacted the terrible anti-inclusive guidance from President You-Know-Who to dismantle every last shred of justice for the transgender community. Following a pattern seen across U.S. government publications, the State Department actually shrank the holy acronym string on its websites, such as the ones giving guidance on international adoptions or travel restrictions for LGBTQI+ would-be parents or vacationers. Instead, the websites now simply have instructions for LGB travelers and LGB prospective parents. Transgender, queer or questioning, intersex and plus sexualities are now no longer officially recognized by the State Department. They've gone from being seen to being completely unseen. They have been invisibilized. They literally chopped the holy acronym string in half, ripping asunder the harmony of the happy people of the rainbow. Yes, the holy acronym string, that once glorious and ever-expanding sequence of letters, numbers, symbols, and punctuation marks, has been shrinkaged to a rather unholy mere acronym stub. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we do want to give our heartiest praise to the painfully handsome British actor Idris Elba, who recently proved well beyond our satisfaction that he's far more than just a mathematically perfect face. Addressing the epidemic of knife violence in Great Britain, Elba is promoting a documentary in which he says something needs to be done to solve this grave social threat.
The truth is that kitchen knives are perhaps 25% of the knives used in most of the terrible crimes. That's one of the stats in the films.
But if you're wondering how on earth knife violence can be solved, well, Elba has a very simple technological innovation in mind.
So kitchen knives, of course, it's very difficult. They're a domestic knife. I do think there is areas of innovation that we can do with kitchen knives. I hate to say it, not all kitchen knives need to have a point on them. That sounds like a crazy thing to say, but actually it would reduce. You know, you can still cut your food without the point on the knife.
That's right. A ban on the manufacture and sale of pointy knives is just the sort of blunt instrument that could make everyone safer. And it's a plan already endorsed by the Church of England, judges, and top trauma doctors and psychiatrists across Britain, all of whom recognize the obvious truth that knife control is the next evolution in our efforts to disarm dangerous people. Moreover, Elba says we need to look at whether to grand person in things like an heirloom sword, which does run the risk of allowing regular or even ninja swords in. But no worry, just introduce knife licenses to solve that problem.
But it is leaving a loophole for someone to carry a ninja sword. So let's ban them all, and if you have one of those knives, get a license for it. Simple as that.
Simple as that. But of course, our fear is that in a moment of passion, even the people who no longer possess pointy cutlery or ninja swords will nevertheless resort to other weapons of convenience. And so we are calling on the British government to establish a commission to study all sharp household goods for possible safety improvements. Obvious steps include replacing ordinary scissors with safety scissors, replacing all pencils with crayons, and ballpoint pens with safe, soft felt tips. It's also probably time to end the barbaric manufacture of the deadly toothpick. We probably need to ban drills, nails, and screwdrivers, and while we're at it, we should probably study mechanisms to reduce the very real danger posed by staples, thumbtacks, and paper cuts. Perhaps softer paper or using napkins to write on might help. Bluntly speaking, there are plenty of things the Brits can do to protect their citizens from themselves and each other. And yes, we recognize that even the most robust pointy knife ban and sword licensing scheme will not solve for all interpersonal violence, but that's okay. Always remember Pluffmeyer's dictum on irrational regulations. It is essential to make laws that make no sense because in requiring obedience to irrationality, we create a submissive and orderly populace. Yes, reason is our real enemy, and we must never overlook an opportunity to stifle it. So naturally, we are very eager to see what other cleaver suggestions Idris Elba might have in store for us in the soon-to-be-released documentary, Our Knife Crime Crisis. And we celebrate his efforts to make life less pointy and duller for all. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Before you leave, if you're still having trouble processing the pain and humiliation of the inauguration of President We Never Say His Name, we have a fresh batch of denial kits available for anyone who needs ongoing reassurance that everything at least has a chance of being okay. This week's soothing contents feature television shows exclusively depicting female presidents, so that you can continue to vividly picture the alternate universe promised by Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, but so far not yet made a reality. The kits include season 7 and 8 of the action series 24, featuring Cherry Jones as President Alison Taylor, all 7 seasons of Veep featuring Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Vice President and then President Selina Meyer, all 6 seasons of Madam Secretary with Taya Leone playing eventual President Elizabeth McCord, the one and only season of Commander-in-Chief featuring Gina Davis as President Mackenzie Allen, the also one and only season of State of Affairs featuring Alfred Woodard as President Constance Payton, and season 6 only of House of Cards featuring Robin Wright as President Claire Underwood. In fact, as I was preparing to order these DVDs for you, I suddenly was made aware that, sadly, we've been very, very effective in our campaign to normalize homosexuality through TV and movies, and yet we've been completely ineffective in those same efforts in dozens of films and television shows at getting the American people to elect a female president. A sad truth to have to recognize, but it only means we must try harder, perhaps by making it a level 3 thought crime to ever depict the American president as a man in TV or film. Morgan Freeman will simply have to find other work.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
828 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5.
Election denial kit? That's awesome, man. I love it.
With all
it.
The DVDs you need to imagine an alternate universe, yes.
All right, no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some delays there if you're rolling on Highway 90 right around the P Ridge area. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Frontier Motors has been helping the Pensacola community for a long time. Find that next best vehicle, the one that you're going to replace the one you got now with, because you know it's getting toward that time in your relationship where you need to move on, and that's good. Frontier has a great selection of good quality used cars. They specialize in cars that are like a year to 4 years old. It's kind of like their sweet spot, you know, between 10 and 50 or 60,000 miles, cars they're going to warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, cars you can count on and basically be the second, maybe third, but usually the second driver on. And you know, everything but the used car, everything but the new car smell. It's just, you know, fantastic quality cars. Plus they'll stand behind them. You know, a lot of times you go to the used car place and, you know, you just hope you get out of there and didn't get taken advantage of. Frontier, you know, they're going to treat you right. They're going to stick with you. They're going to follow up and make sure everything is fine. They're going to take good care of you. And, you know, if you find what you like, buy it. If you don't find exactly what you want, send them looking. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Coming up next, we've got the wrap. We've got Grover Robinson and Grace McCaffrey is going to be here. And in the newsroom, we've got David Wayne with our headlines for us. David?
Well, the Trump administration's deferred resignation offer for federal employees has been paused by a federal judge. The judge ordered the deadline for workers to make their decision until at least Monday. That'll allow for arguments at a hearing that's set for next week.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Yeah, it should be interesting because we've got the red light cameras. We can talk about that with Grover, and we've got the immigration protest. We can talk about that with Grace. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The unemployment rate falls a bit to 4.4%, but job growth slowed down last month, fewer than half the hires there were in December.
143,000 in January. Job gains occurred in healthcare, in retail trade, and in social assistance. Employment declined in mining and the oil and gas extraction industry.
Fox Business correspondent Lauren Simonetti. The White House says it's a good thing that a federal judge blocked a federal worker buyout offer due to expire last night because now people have more time to accept it.
Reps for 800,000 federal workers filed suit asking to delay the deadline. Now this judge's decision blocks the administration from taking any further action until a Monday court hearing when both sides can present more arguments. And to comply, the Office of Personnel Management moved that deadline to midnight on Monday.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees right now, cloudy skies in Pensacola. We are following this big manhunt that's going on in northwest Florida's Suwanee County right now. A suspect allegedly shot four people and killed two at a gas station in Gadsden County, then shot a sheriff's deputy after leading law enforcement officers on a chase. Following that initial shooting at the gas station, the suspect was spotted in Columbia County. That led to a chase with FHP in Columbia and Suwanee County deputies. After crashing his vehicle, the suspect fired at officers. That is when a Suwanee County deputy was shot. Now, from what we understand, that injured deputy is expected to recover. The suspect fled the scene of that exchange on foot and is now the subject of a massive manhunt. Residents in that area of Suwanee County have been told to shelter in place. So we will be watching this here throughout the day, and we'll let you know as soon as we learn any more about that. Also seeing today, it looks like another delay in the moving of the SS United States to Mobile to begin its transformation as the world's largest artificial reef. WKRG is reporting that this planned departure that was supposed to happen tomorrow is now on hold as the Coast Guard is requesting additional safety checks. There's no word on a new departure date as of yet. Okaloosa County did previously say they'd been given the go-ahead to have that ship towed from its current port in Philadelphia to the port of Mobile, where it would undergo some work to prepare the vessel to be sunk in the Gulf. It's eventually expected to be sunk about 20 nautical miles to the south of Destin and Fort Walton Beach. Now, residents at the Offensive Women's Homeless Camp on Fairfield Drive are trying to figure out where to go if their camp gets closed down. Now, they are at a camp that opened up earlier this year after Escambia County shut down that large Beggs Lane homeless camp.
We were on the streets before, and they kick us off the streets, and our options are jail or shelter. So we got a shelter. Now they're kicking us back on the streets where they don't want us to be. I don't get it.
That's Leisha Banks, who talked to Channel 3. There's about 10 women currently in that camp, which is behind the offensive building in a fenced-in backyard. Offensive lets the women use amenities inside the building. Escambia County Code Enforcement recently notified the organization they were in violation of county ordinance, but the county says they did not tell the women they had to leave, and they're working with the organization to help fix the issues relating to their building and to that camp. Well, looks like at least one of our area Big Lots stores might survive the company's bankruptcy. The Milton store is on a list that may stay open under a deal with Gordon Brothers Retail Partners, which is a company helping Big Lots through their bankruptcy. The store on 90 is one of only 12 locations in the state of Florida that made that list. Both locations in Pensacola are still expected to close. Big Lots filed for bankruptcy in September. More than 400 of their stores have already closed. Big Lots reported losses of over $114 billion leading up to that bankruptcy. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit WatsonFirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 going from Payson to Pensacola is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Dense fog advisory in place for this morning. Fog will burn off as you go into the afternoon. High today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 with fog possible as you go into the overnight and into Saturday morning. For Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high near 73. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 68 degrees in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. And your money now this morning. Our markets off to a mixed open. The Dow is down 24 and a quarter points at 44,723.38. S&P 500 is up just under 5 points at 6,091.29. NASDAQ up 43 and a half points at 19,835.64. 10-year bond rate up a bit, 4.485% today. Gold price is up 1740 at 28.94.10. Silver price is up 28 cents at 32.91. And taking a look at that always crazy crypto market this morning, Bitcoin up 2703 at 99,380.94. Ethereum's up, Solana's up. And Dogecoin even gaining a cent at 26 cents today. XRP up 15 cents as well. Well, employers can expect a whole bunch of people to call in sick the Monday after the Super Bowl.
A new survey from Paycom collected data from over 6 million employees who requested sick days after the Super Bowl. It found that in 2024, there were 63% more sick day requests on the day after the game than on the average day last year. It also found over 90% of managers at U.S. companies approved those sick days for employees after the game. I'm Monica Nelson.
Thank you, Monica. Businesses in New Orleans are looking forward to the big windfall of having the Super Bowl in town this weekend. The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority says last year's game had a $1 billion impact on their local economy. It's been 12 years since New Orleans last hosted a Super Bowl. Well, Google will no longer be pursuing diversity hiring goals. A spokesperson confirmed that move this week, saying that as a federal contractor, the search giant is now evaluating additional changes that are required after recent court decisions and President Trump's executive orders. And the average rate on a 30-year mortgage is down for the third straight week in a row. It's now at 6.89%. That, according to Freddie Mac, a year ago, it averaged 6.64%. Freddie Mac's chief economist says that the past 2 weeks have seen a small uptick in purchase applications compared to the same time period last year. 8:38, our next news at 9. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's our opportunity to talk about the news of the week with a couple of friends here in studio with me. Today I am joined by Grace Resendez McCaffrey, who I've known, gosh, a long time I've known you. I'm not even sure how we met originally, but she is the president of Latino Media Gulf Coast. And you see her on TV whenever there's coverage of, you know, immigration demonstrations or anything in that regard. A wonderful friend. Grace, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Grover Robinson, who's sort of a friend. I mean, he's a former mayor, you know, and he is now the government and community relations person for Pensacola State College, formerly PJC. But now PSC. Grover, welcome back to the wrap. Good to
Glad
have you.
Glad to be here.
By the way, the haircut looks fabulous.
Hey, I got a face for at least a podcast right now. I mean, you know, usually I'm dressed for radio, but today at least podcast. But I think we first met, I was a commissioner.
Yeah, that's probably true. I'm sure that's true. Yeah, because you were a commissioner for
12 years.
6 years before you became?
12 well, years.
What year did you become mayor? 2016?
18.
2018. Okay, so 4 years while I was here. Okay, very good.
Well,
let's start with this, just because you've been in the news, because you've been on TV a lot this week, Grace, with the demonstration slash protests. I'm not sure which word, you know, to me, it's sort of both. But as long as it's speech, I'm fine with it. In fact, yeah. As I said online, I think that the purpose of them, I think I used the word silly. Maybe I should have used the word I disagree with, but whatever. I was more trying to emphasize that I disagree, but totally would defend your right to do it. In fact, if somebody tried to stop you, I would use arms to stop them from stopping you, because that's the First Amendment. What is, though, tell folks, like, what is the purpose? What were you trying to accomplish?
So we specifically did not use the word protest because there was not any intent of being, you know, aggressive publicly towards anyone.
Okay.
But we used the terms demonstration and march.
Okay.
March because there was a physical march in the area to be active and more visible. And a demonstration, just in general, just to kind of show public support for our immigrant community that is dealing with these immigration issues right now.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I ask, but other people also ask, and you and I have talked about this before on the radio, is the difference between the immigrant community that's here and has proper documentation and the immigrant community that is, depending on what word you like, illegally here or undocumented or out of status, or, you know, there's all different dimensions to that. My own sort of view of that was, if it's a reminder that immigrants are important, then I'm with you. If it's an emphasis that illegal or undocumented or out of status immigrants are important, I'm less with you. I'm willing to be persuaded, but that's the part where we challenge, and kind of putting those together seems like a inappropriate mixing of things. But I wanted to give you a chance to answer that.
Well, I really don't make a difference between the groups.
Okay.
I usually just refer to immigrants as immigrants unless we're specifically talking about immigration status. And it's because I think they're equally as important whether we acknowledge them or not. They're in the background doing tons of work that we take for granted. And I think it's something that at the very least, should give them some credit for being human.
And of course, I agree with that. I mean, and in fact, you know, the Bible is full of admonitions to treat the stranger well. And there are other dimensions to this argument, but I'd consider myself one of the most pro-immigration conservatives. But I do want I want there to be a process, and I want it, us to be able to control it, but I want to let as many people in as we need for the workforce. Grover, we kind of have been excluding you here for a second, but any part of this that you want to weigh in on, either as mayor, what you saw, or, you know, from an education standpoint, what you see with students?
Andrew, I think the important part is this country has been built on immigration and people coming from here and what has happened. So immigration is a part of who we are as this country. I tend to agree with you in the sense that can we fit a framework that fits for allowing people to figure out how we do that and then make that more eligible? Because one way or the other, whether it's workforce, whatever happened, we've come here from somewhere. I mean, so, you know, I think that's kind of where I straddle on. I think there is a total need in this community. Our country has been based on bringing people from outside in, and it has been one of the strengths of who we are. But I do understand your point in saying there's got to be some system that it fits within. And I think that's that. I think most of the American people are probably there in that process. And we're having these arguments on the far side, one way or the other. Could we just solve it more into something that's more deliverable for most Americans, what they could live with?
And I will personally take as many productive people as we can get.
Absolutely.
I mean, that is our advantage in any country that loses producers is their loss. So, you know, I like babies. I like producers. I like, you know, that a lot of the questions. And that's why I'd rather let as many in as want to come here, both because we want them and because it's to our benefit. You know,
but a process by which you become.
Yeah, absolutely. And also our system, I think, should have a way for people who come here as immigrants but don't have citizenship status, ought to have a way, a very simple way for them to proceed towards citizenship, because that's the nature of our system as well, is that you're a participant in the government and, you know, the consent of the governed is a key element. So, I mean, all of this needs to be fixed. I completely agree with that.
Obviously, there is a way for people to become citizens or
right,
legally in the country. Those processes are being taken away right now. There's a lot of people that actually have visas that are being threatened right now. Removing the validity of these visas or the protections of these visas, which is scary. But I think that also we have to address our dependency on exploited labor, because that is exactly what the situation that these folks are in. They could become citizens or residents, but that would give them an opportunity to get better jobs than they're able to get now. But is America going to be okay with not having that labor force?
And this is something where you and I completely agree, which is that because of the you know, undocumented or out of status condition, you have a workforce that is exploited, underpaid, pays taxes but does not get the benefit of the taxes or the legal status, and doesn't have the ability to stand up for against injustice when it happens to them because they're afraid of, you know, being expelled from the country or whatever. And the idea of us as a country depending on a labor force that is like that, of essentially marginalized or oppressed people, we should all care about that, because that's whether that happens at some, you know, sweatshop in China or somewhere, or happens because we're taking, you know, workers in here and treating them with those same kind of inappropriate conditions.
We have sweatshops in this country.
Of course, right. And, you know, all of the horrible things that you hear about people being brought here, and, you know, basically sold into human slavery and economic, I mean, all of that stuff, that's all bad. We should all care about that. So,
and understand when I'm talking about these visas being threatened, the visas that are given to victims of crimes, those are the visas that are actually being threatened right now.
So and that's all, another part. When it comes to the way the Trump administration is handling this, they're handling it, in my opinion, like they handle a lot of other things, which is just a giant wrecking ball. Which does a terrible job of distinguishing between legitimate and illegitimate uses of that policy. It's, you know, like the USAID thing. Let's just cut it all off in order to eliminate the problems. Well, yeah, but you cut off a lot of really good things in the process. Same thing with, you know, if we're just going to get rid of everybody, or as you say, put even legitimate visas on hold out of an interest to getting rid of the bad ones, well, you cut deep with that. I mean, that's a that's a real problem. It's 8:47 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
No accidents on I-10, I-110, or even to report to you. I-10 and 110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Grover will turn a little bit to something that's a little bit more in your wheelhouse. As the former mayor of Pensacola, we are now issuing tickets for red light cameras. This is something that under your administration, I know Tommy Leiter had pushed for this for a long time. And finally, we're becoming like Gulf Breeze, at least in part. Thoughts?
Well, I always love when you get the call to come on the show here because you never know exactly what you're going to talk about or who's going to be here or what's going on. You show up. So this is one where I did have some background in it. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's a difficult question to come to because there's this two-part of it. There is a part where you simply don't have enough police officers to police traffic. And, in fact, if you're really talking about the enforcement at a stoplight, even if you had officers there, you really couldn't do it because of the way you have to prove what's there. So the cameras do a more effective job. Now, there's the flip side of that people are like, well, I don't like this all this stuff all over the place. And it's a constant balancing one way or the other. We have looked at this for a while when I was there. It came out when I was a county commissioner. I mean, it came out that long ago. I think you said Gulf Breeze has had it. It's certainly one of the challenges that are there.
Milton had it and got rid of it.
Yeah. There is kind of this line between how much is too much surveillance. But the problem is we have too many people being poor drivers and there's no other way to enforce it.
What do you mean? And Pensacola is filled with super competent, highly aware,
they may be
flawlessly executed drivers of great skill. I don't know what have you seen?
Well, I think when you see, I have seen some of the social media stuff that the mayor's office in the city have put out there. And yeah, that stuff has been happening all over. You see it. It's egregious cases of people not following the law at a traffic signal. And it does create significant problems. And if you think it's not only your safety but it also challenges a lot of what ends up happening. I know my wife talked about the other day having, she couldn't get to work where she teaches because there was a wreck and they had shut everything down on Cervantes. So these things do cost the city and the county and what they do in the job. So it's a tough thing to go back and forth on, but at the end of the day, we have the chance to control it as drivers out there. If we are responsible to what's there. Now, I mean, I agree. I understand as long as your front tires get over the white bar before it goes from yellow to red, you technically are still within the law. But you know, I mean, there are cases of it's clearly red, 20 feet before the person gets to the white bar and they just cruise right through it. That endangers all of us who live here, and it just, we got to stop it some way or another.
I was at Davis and Creighton. I've kind of told the story, but I was at Davis and Creighton the other day. My son actually had a fender bender at Walmart on Creighton, and I was going to help. And I, in front of my eyes, saw the green arrows turn on, and one, two, and then a car went right through across all of the turners. And luckily, they hadn't gone quickly because he would have killed somebody right in front of my face because that's not even a controlled, that's not even a traffic light or a red light camera intersection. That's just an intersection. But you see it at Davis Highway, all those intersections all the time. What do you think, Grace?
You know, that gets me how we refer to, we can giggle about people who run red lights in this conversation. And it happens to follow this conversation about immigration where people debate whether they should be called illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we don't call drivers illegal drivers. I'm sorry, but my family is deeply affected for the rest of our lives over a traffic accident.
Yeah.
My husband was killed in a car accident. My kids grew up without a father because somebody disobeyed traffic law. I mean, I just think it's interesting that we make a joke out of.
Well, it's a good example to me of, on the one hand, you have people who are very strident about the breaking of the immigration law to come here, right? Like the only crime is the fact that the law was broken.
If they crossed the border illegally.
Right.
If they overstayed a visa, they have not committed a crime. Like, make that clear.
Fair enough. But then when it comes to speeding or when it comes to running red lights or, you know, soft stops at a stop sign or any of those kinds of things, yeah, there's very much a wink and nod, everybody does it, which we do all do it. But when you do it badly, you can, as you say, change the trajectory of your life, somebody else's life, and a life. I mean, horrible texting and driving. We haven't gotten better at driving with the advent of cell phones, you know, smartphones. We've gotten much, much worse at it, and that's also a problem. So,
and yet people are complaining about putting up safety measures.
Right, right.
So
that's fair criticism. I am not on their side. I am on the side of, I think it's been revelatory to see how many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially at, I mean, and at intersections where, I mean, we haven't even really started with the Fairfield ones yet, because I think the one's not active and the other one's put on the wrong way, but the intersections where it's really active at 9th and 9th and Bayou and 9th and Airport and then down at 9th and Gregory, it's hundreds and hundreds. And I mean, it's 1,500 in the first, crazy, like, month. And that's when people know it's there. Now, maybe the awareness hasn't percolated to everybody, but that's with announcements and warnings and still,
well,
so many.
Andrew, the only thing I will say is look, how many people run red lights in Gulf Breeze?
Very few.
That's my point.
And how many speed in Gulf Breeze?
So people who are, if people really don't care about what the traffic signal is one way or the other, and they take that approach, it appears that when there's actual enforcement, they really do care. So, that's to my extent. I understand the other point, and I think everybody doesn't want everybody looking over their shoulder every minute of every day. But at some point, we got to be responsible people. I mean, right. At some point, you gotta. The rules are there for a reason, and we have people who egregiously break them. Something's got to happen.
Nobody can defend running red lights. You cannot defend running a red light as a practice. And so that's where it becomes a little bit easier to justify the enforcement mechanism. And the answer is, if you don't like the ticket, then, you know, through the red light.
I mean,
right?
I think we all just look at Gulf Breeze and nobody runs traffic signals anymore.
It's part of the culture there. So, when I moved here 30 years ago, it was one of the first things I was told. Everybody knows you don't speed in Gulf Breeze.
And, you know, I always love what Tommy Leiter, Chief Leiter, said at the time. Was he said, look, the job of the police is to protect people against bodily harm and damage to property. And, you know, traffic signals, red light cameras, and he was also about speed enforcement. He says, we can save more lives and protect more property from damage and protect our economy, essentially, just by having better drivers and speed enforcement and red light enforcement than through any other mechanism, because it adversely affects far more people. And I think part of the problem, it's the basic paradox of, if the people are virtuous and good, you don't need many laws. And if the people misbehave, you need more laws and heavier enforcement, because they just won't behave in a way that we have to all behave in order to make things work.
Well, it doesn't take very long for those things to change their behaviors. that's what Grace is saying.
That's right.
Culture. If you can behavior becomes
scare
culture.
Them a little bit and they go. That's right. We're talking to Grace Resendez McCaffrey, who is the president of Latino Media Gulf Coast, and also former Mayor Grover Robinson, who is now with PSC as their government community relations person. He's a lobbyist. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John,
I'm an advocate for education.
That's a lobbyist using lobbyist language. That's, you know, go on, John.
I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any accidents to report to you right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I'm an advocate for
traffic.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Embrace it, man.
I'm just trying to get people jobs and skills, Andrew. I mean, if you're trying to fight that, that's okay. I mean, just come right out and just say it. I mean, that's fine.
It is the big event this weekend. Are either of you going to watch the Super Bowl?
We'll watch it. Yeah.
Dip my toe in the water answer. Barely.
I love, well, I will say pro football, when it gets to the playoffs, I like it. I like the Saints. The problem is the Saints have been so terrible, it's not worth watching pro football right now, but the Saints were there better, but no, I'll watch it. But I mean, I'm much more prefer college football.
Do you watch it more for the ads or for the game?
The ads are pretty good, I will say that. But the game is definitely the reason.
I'm not going to lie, I'm in for the halftime show.
All right. That's the main. But you said you like to play football.
Sure.
Okay. Tackle?
Of course. Yeah.
You grew up with brothers?
Yes, brothers. The tough stuff. Yeah.
There you go. I am not a tackle football. You know, flag football for me, I'm, you know, this is never, I don't think I've even ever played tackle football. So you've got that way over me. Okay.
I played with several people here that actually played, that went on and played college. I played at my freshman year at Washington, and I played in eighth grade. But again, at that point, I was 125 pounds, and I thought, it's not going to last very long for me. So I did not go out for varsity at Washington High School. But we had a great team. We had some players that went on to play college, and were some great players there. back in Washington in 88. We had some good teams.
Speaking of Washington and other schools in the area, the school district in Escambia is making some changes. Keith Leonard announced some of that this week, putting 7th and 8th graders at PHS to get them prepared, I think, for IB is what that's all about. Melding together the K-5 and the 6th through 8 and making a K-8 or adding a 6th grade to a K-5. And adding magnet schools, which we've been saying that ought to have been done for years and years. And, of course, you know, Malcolm Thomas never wanted to. This is a response to choice competition, right? You've got vouchers, private school, charter schools, homeschool, and the public school system has been losing students, and they're saying, we've got to adapt. That seems to me like I'm an advocate for choice for forever. That seems like a win.
Well, I think so. My wife is a middle school teacher at a private institution, and they've been doing incredibly well for the last 20 years because, unfortunately, our public school system in middle school has not gotten it right. So I do think there are some challenges. Clearly, what we're currently doing is not working. So I do think there are some things that need to happen. I think it'll be interesting to see if those pan out and what happens. But clearly, the system, as we currently are seeing it, is not working because these other private institutions are killing it in the middle school time frame. I think we've done pretty good at elementary. I think we've got some good high school opportunities. But we are getting clobbered in the public school system, in the middle school system.
We only got about 20 seconds left. Grace, any thoughts about the school system, what they're doing to, you know, compete, basically?
Growing up in Texas, it was always K through 6 for me.
Oh, okay, so it was a little bit different system there. And look, it's funny because I grew up with a great public school education in a very, very good school district outside of Chicago. But I know not everybody had my experience. And, you know, that's also an issue.
I did Escambia County back in the day, and I didn't have any problem.
Grover, Grace, thanks for the time. 92.